Welcome to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, where it's all about smart, efficient training so you can crush your cycling goals. And now, your host, Coach Rob Manning.
All right, welcome to episode number 56 of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, where we make real science real simple. I am your host, Coach Rob, and I've got a great show for you today. We're going to discuss the cost of bicycle racing. But first, I've got a couple of announcements here. We'll try and keep it nice and quick to keep with the theme of real quick episode here today. The website, the Daily Grind Cycling Journal blog, the episode show notes receptacle, online training plan store is all available at tailwind-coaching.com, and the podcast show notes for this particular episode is available at tailwind-coaching.com/56. That's 5-6. That's the number of this episode. And while you're over there at Tailwind Coaching, you can sign up for the Tailwind Coaching newsletter by heading to tailwind-coaching.com/signup. Share it with your friends, and you'll get some free coaching advice, you'll get workouts, you'll get fitness information, you'll get weekly updates on activity on Tailwind Coaching, and of course, the occasional subscriber-only discount. It does come once in a while. If you need to get a hold of me, you can contact me at coachrobdc@gmail.com. You can follow me by clicking any of the icons on the website, which includes Strava, the RSS feed. You can find me at Stitcher. You can email me, as I just mentioned. You can find me on the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page. You can catch me on Twitter at CoachRobDC. You can post any questions on the Tailwind Coaching forums on the website. And while you're over there, if you're listening on mobile or if you're on the website, head on over to iTunes. Give this podcast a 5-star rank. Leave a review. It helps me move up through the ranks. It helps me reach a few more people. Helps me help more people get this advice out there and lets people enjoy riding their bikes. And honestly, I can tell you, having been off the bike for 5 weeks due to a crash, man, I really like watching people enjoy riding their bikes. For the past 5 weeks, I've survived vicariously through my customers, my listeners, and my readers sharing their success stories with me. And that's basically what's gotten me through the last 5 weeks. So head on over to iTunes, rate the podcast. Let me try and move up those cycling category rankings and help a few more people. Visiting the online training plan store for complete training solutions for all your major season goals, grand fondos, races, group rides, and general cycling fitness. And don't forget to take advantage of my training plan support option to get yourself a coach for a small percentage of what it would normally cost. Basically, you buy an off-the-shelf training plan from my downloadable training plan store. You purchase the training plan support, and I coach you through that. I help you adapt that training plan to your goals, all for a measly $30 a month. Compared to the one-on-one slots, which started at $100 per month, the only thing you are not getting is the absolute customized training plan for your needs. That's not to say those downloadable training plans are too shabby at all. My 2015 Battenkill plan took someone to second place podium step again. Also took a retired military vet to third place on the podium. And that's, of course, my off-the-shelf training plan. That was with no training plan support. Second or third place overall in the individual category of Tour New Zealand, South Island, with downloadable off-the-shelf training plans. If that's not something you're interested in, I do have one one-on-one training slot available. Shoot me an email, coachrobdc@gmail.com, for information on that. And if you do head on over to the site to check out the blog, check out the show notes, check out the Tailwind Coaching past episodes and archives, do me a favor, visit our sponsors. They do contribute a few pennies to hosting and bandwidth costs when you click through those links and purchase from them. Of course, you know these if you're an avid listener of the podcast. Road ID will speak for you when you're unable to. The Sufferfest, click on the crying eyes to get some really solid, brutal workouts. U.S. Wellness Meats for hormone-free, grass-fed meats shipped right to your door. The Bulletproof Exec for all your biohacking needs. My Amazon store with all of my recommended training tools, Garmin devices, clothing, etc., etc., as well as all of my recovery and nutritional aids, except for Exos Nutrition, newest sponsor with high-quality nutritional supplements designed for health, well-being, and improved performance. And of course, finally, don't forget there's a discount code at the end of the podcast, tailwind-coaching.com/56, that you can use to take a percentage off any of your purchases from my online training plan store. Quick update for me. Many of you know I was involved in a pretty nasty crash early in April, put me out of commission for 5 weeks. This is being recorded on Monday the 18th of May. For the first time, I got back on the trainer yesterday, did a short half hour. You can see it on Strava. And honestly, I've got to say it was great to be back on the trainer. It was eye-opening to be back on the trainer, and reminds me that these pro cyclists that you see, when they say they're out for 4 to 6 weeks for a collarbone before they're back racing, these guys are a completely different animal, folks. It's amazing the difference. Peter Seri, Belgian cyclist, was out for 3 weeks before he raced Flèche Wallonne. All right, 3 weeks post-surgical, he raced Flèche Wallonne, and then he raced the Giro d'Italia, started the Giro d'Italia, crashed out during the first week. These guys are completely different animal, folks. It's amazing what the difference they are. But that being said, a quick update on me, and I'm back in the game. I will be back to riding soon enough, so I'm hoping that that will happen quicker than I had actually anticipated. But anyway, moving on to today's podcast, The Cost of Bicycle Racing, podcast number 56, tailwind-coaching.com/56. I really encourage you to take a look at the show notes for this episode, as it's going to have a lot of information in there. And this particular episode is based on an article that recently came out in the UK-based paper, The Telegraph. And that paper caused more than a little bit of stir in the cycling world. Mostly that article, well, first of all, it drew the ire of people such as the GCN network and things like that. I think it was in one of their off-the-back segments, to be honest with you. I don't remember which one it is, and if I can find it, I will try to remember to link it in the episode show notes, but no guarantees there. But the general idea of this article, and I'll get to this fact, but when read alone, it sort of lent itself to a moment of, holy shit, you've got to be kidding me, type of sensation. The general basic gist of this article was that the cost of racing a bike for 1 year was approximately £25,000 sterling. That's £25,000 sterling. Think about that for just a minute. For those of you who may not necessarily be familiar with the exchange rate, when adjusted to US dollars, you're talking about $39,000. $39,000 to race a bike for 1 year. Now, honestly, that is absolutely ridiculous. That is, comparatively, that's the size of a person's salary. All right, not taking into account any cost of living. You're talking about spending a year's salary for many people racing a bike, and that is completely asinine. And there's honestly no earthly reason why racing a bike needs to cost that much. It really doesn't. It really does not need to do that. Honestly, if you went back and looked at the history, that author's article history, you would get a much different impression. This is a guy who, when he was 17 or 18, was racing at a very elite level, was talking about possibly going pro, being, you know, an Olympic caliber athlete, a professional caliber athlete, but self-destructive tendencies kind of put him off that path. And at this point in his life as a 40-something, is trying to recapture some of that past glory. We're not talking about a guy who is just trying to race at a Cat 5 level, a Cat 4 level, you know, has a 9-to-5 job and is going out on the weekends and after work and whatnot, trying to build some fitness so that they can go out and race for fun. You know, he's not trying to win a case of beer or a six-pack of donuts or whatever it happens to be, or a pair of tires or a pair of gloves or whatever the hell it is in a weekend crit. This is a guy who's trying to race at an absolutely elite level. So as much as it doesn't really apply to your average bicycle racer, the fact that this story got some legs and managed to pick itself up, and that I've seen it in a number of places, has been part of the issue that, and there is a perception that bike racing is inherently expensive. So if you're going to take a look at the episode show notes here, I'm going to break this down, because the article itself breaks it down into the cost for each particular piece of equipment and each particular thing that he used to total up to about 25,000 pounds. So follow around along here with me as best you can. If you're mobile, if you're able to be following on the show notes, it's worth it. And if it's on the show notes, if you're able to, take a look at it and follow up after the fact. First of all, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through what he termed as the racing bill, what he paid for all the things that he needs to race for an entire season, along with the equivalent in U.S. dollars. And after that, I'm going to go through each category in its own, and I'm going to, how do I want to put this, debunk why you need to spend that much money to race a bike. So without any further ado, here we go. The racing bill. Number one, two fully equipped racing bikes, one for time trialing, one for road races, total of 16,000 pounds or 24,400 US dollars. You can find all these numbers on the episode show notes, tailwind-coaching.com/56. And these prices are US dollars as of May 13th, 2015. Number two, winter training bike for 2,000 pounds or $3,050. Spare racing wheels, 500 pounds, $762. The cost of race entries for an 8-month season, 1,000 pounds or $1,525. Transport costs to and from races, which is basically diesel costs. He's saying 1,500 pounds or $2,300 or so. An indoor trainer, a Watt bike specifically, 2,250 pounds or $3,430. Training camp in Majorca, 700 pounds or $1,065. Nutrition, including supplements, gels, proteins, 800 pounds a year, $1,220. Race clothing for 500 pounds or $762. And replacing tires throughout the year, 300 pounds, $458. For a grand total of 25,550 pounds or $38,958.64. That is absolutely ridiculous. All right, if you look at that list, and just one thing that jumps out at me here is the fact that the cost of this guy's winter bike, his winter training bike, is essentially the cost of most people's high-quality in-season road bike. That is completely ridiculous. Who the hell that, I don't know anybody, and believe me, I've coached some athletes that are pretty damn good at what they do, all right? I'm very familiar with a number of domestic pros. I'm pretty sure their winter training bike is not $3,050. All right. Most of the pros that I know, most of the guys that I know that are racing at any high level, find themselves a cheap, shitty $1,000, $1,500 cyclocross bike and use that to train during the winter. So that's one of the first things to take a look at, and it's kind of weird. But among that, there's also a lot of other superfluous stuff on that list. Granted, there's a lot of top-shelf equipment on that list, and this list sort of reads like a who's who and what's what and a dream list of, geez, what do I really want if I was going to race full-time for a whole season, et cetera, et cetera. You know, good stuff that you would want. All right, let's break it down a little bit of time. This guy's spending about 12 grand per bike for each one of his racing bikes. And he's got a road bike. He's got a time trial bike. I'm going to make a couple assumptions here. I'm going to make an assumption that somebody doesn't even have a bike to race on. All right, maybe there's somebody who got into cycling using an old 10-speed or an old steel or an old bike, and they want to buy new stuff and they want to start racing. Well, here's a great deal, guys. Here's a great thought. You can race Cat 5, Cat 4 for the ladies. You can even race Cat 4, even Cat 3 on a simple aluminum bike. You don't need to spend $12,000 on a race bike. All right. I know plenty of guys in the Cat 4s, and I know guys in the Cat 3s that race on a CAD 10.5, 105. All right. It's $1,650, $1,700 bucks. It's less than the cost. It's half the cost of this guy's winter training bike, and it is a perfectly serviceable racing bike. All right. The 105 5800 series, it's got an 11-speed FSA Gossamer crank, 11-speed drivetrain, Tektro brakes, some pretty solid Shimano wheels. If you're going to add something, add some pedals to it, some small items, bottle cages, bike computer, things like that. If you're going to race time trials or triathlons, you can buy a set of clip-on aero bars for like $100, $150 bucks. And suddenly, for maybe $2,000, you have a fully kitted out bike that you can race crits, you can race road races, you can race time trials, you can ride in a triathlon on for about $2,000. Instead of a guy who's spending $12,000 per bike plus $3,000, $3,050 bucks for a winter bike, now you have a do-all bike that can do everything. All right, he talks about kit. He talks about needing racing clothing for $750 bucks. Well, you know what? You can buy a helmet, you can buy a set of shoes, you can buy a couple of kits, maybe around $500 bucks. All right, and if I didn't say it, I've got links to all of these recommendations in my episode show notes, so take a look at that. For a helmet, one of my favorite helmet recommendations, real simple, Laser. All right, Laser actually saved my noggin during that crash that put me out for 5 weeks. That's the expensive helmet. You don't even have to do an expensive helmet. For $100, you can have one of the most solid helmets on the market. One of the most protective, you know, impact-resistant, lightweight models on the market. Designed to hit the cobbles in Belgium. It's designed to pretty much handle anything. You can be pretty sure it'll fix your save your head in a race, too, on pavement. If you're going to spend money on a part of your cycling kit, there are two things I suggest spending money on. One is going to be your shoes, because that is probably one of the most important contact points on your bike. The other one's going to be your actual bib shorts or chamois. And for shoes, my favorite shoes are the Bonts. Vapors are a really good choice for about $250 bucks. But there are lots of great shoes out there from Specialized, from Mavic. There are great shoes out there from CD and other companies as well. Diadora, Pearl Izumi, etc., etc. Kits, my favorite kits come from a company called V13 or Vi13. And they put a lot of R&D into their kits. They're a little bit pricey, but you absolutely want good quality there. And something that really needs to be said here, and this was made a point in the article, and it's made a point in many of the articles. You really don't need to be affiliated with a team to race. You just need to wear a kit. You just can't show up at the starting line naked. I've also seen this question asked a lot on internet forums recently because it seems to be everybody's trying to get out and race and wants to try towing a start line, for better or for worse. And you really do not need to be affiliated with a team to race. You just have to wear a kit. There are a few rules and restrictions, and this will vary based on your national governing body, but here in the United States, you're allowed no national champion kits, no world champion kits, no pro team kits, to my knowledge. they may relax that in lower categories and Cat 5s and things like that, but honestly, don't show up to a race in a pro team kit. If you're not a pro team rider, really, I hate saying this and it makes a bunch of racers sound like dicks, but if you show up in a pro team kit, we are going to laugh at you. Unless you just proceed to just dominate our entire, you know, series, then we'll stop laughing and probably ask for an autograph, but that's beside the point. Any jersey or bibs will be fine, especially if you are racing unattached. Usually when you enter a race here in the US, they ask you what team you are racing for, or it'll be on your racing license if you're a year-long license holder, as many people are. If you're signing up for a one-day license, they'll ask you what team you race for. If you don't put a team, you're basically unattached, and you can race in pretty much anything. Most people that I see that are unattached are racing in a plain color jersey, a Castelli jersey, an ASOS jersey, a Rafa jersey, and just a pair of plain black bib shorts, nothing special. If you are racing for a team, congratulations, wear the team kit. But there's absolutely no necessity that you be racing for a team and representing a team. All right, so this idea that you have to spend $750 on racing clothing is a little bit ridiculous. Assuming you had nothing, you could easily get away with spending about $850 on helmet, shoes, and two really, really, really nice kits. Okay, so keep that in mind. Next thing he goes on to talk about is spare racing wheels for about $760. Well, I'll be honest here. It's hard to argue with a price for that because that's actually not a bad price for a spare, decent set of wheels. What annoys me is the fact that if you're going to race a bike, you really don't necessarily need new wheels, because in most of the races here in the U.S., especially criteriums and ones that don't have a free lap rule, if you flat or have a mechanical, you're out of the race. You're done. You're not going to catch back into that race. if you were looking to upgrade something on your bike, and I've been through this many times before, one of the best bang for the buck upgrades for your bike itself are wheels. Typically stock wheels on any bike, and granted, the CAD 10 105 is no exception. Even though they're very solid wheels, they're very, very heavy. Heavy rims, heavy hubs, not terribly, terribly stiff. But if here's the point. If you're going to upgrade your wheels anyway, you already have a spare set of wheels laying around. You don't need to buy a spare set of wheels for an additional $700 on top of the maybe $2,000 that you spent to put wheels on your bike in the first place. All right, this guy has two bikes at $12,000 a piece. Are you telling me he still has to buy more wheels for those bikes? For a relatively cheap upgrade, one of my favorite wheels that I like to support, the real sponsor is Roll. I love Roll Race SLRs. They're about 1,590 grams. They're a pretty aero wheel, wide 23 millimeter rim. Really, really excellent bearings, really solid, maintenance-free for the most part, free hub system, really good investment choice, all for about $700. So if you have nothing and you need to upgrade, throw a set of those wheels on there, use your takeoff wheels as your pit wheels. And bear in mind that a lot of races don't even allow pit wheels. A lot of races don't even have a free lap rule. So if you get a mechanical, your day is done. Sorry. Next thing he goes over, I'm going to combine these two things here. Cost of racing for an 8-month season and transport to races. He's basically totaling up about $3,800 in expenses for racing a season, for race entries and transportation. Now, full season, for me, I'm going to assume you want to race about 7 months. Let's say from March to September, because that's pretty much the extent of the road season, at least here in the United States, especially in the Northeast, and that's a pretty full calendar by anyone's standards. So if you're racing for 7 months, even if you're racing 3 to 4 races a month, let's say 25 races, that puts you nearly at 4 races per month. Some of those races will have a sign up for a second race for only $10, but there's varying costs of races around here. The average cost of a race is about $35, and that includes your entry fee, your bike reg fee, etc., etc. If you assume 25 races about $35, you're going to talk about $875, $900 for race entry fees. If you're real hardcore and you're going to do stage races, Tour of the Catskills, Green Mountain Stage Race, Giro di Cello, things like that, you may end up paying a little bit more. Although if you assume your average weekend stage race is usually 3 stages or so, break that down by $35 per, even if you're paying $125 for a stage race entry, it's not a whole lot more than 3 separate races. All right, so the cost is essentially negligible. And the difference in cost you may pay would be hotels and lodging. Travel-wise, if you're going to day races, around here in the Northeast, at least in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware area, most races, with a few exceptions, are driving distance for a day trip. So you figure about $500 in gas taxes and tolls, if you're going to be staying over something like Green Mountain Stage Race, one of those, you may spend a little bit more, but generally you might spend, let's say, $900 for race entries and $500 to $700 for expenses. You're going to be spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,300 to $1,500, $1,600 maybe, factoring in a couple of motel stays. In reality, what seems to be more popular in the racing scene nowadays, at least in this area, there are some weeknight race series that are a real, real blast to race for about $8 to $15 a race or so. They're just as much fun as those weekend races, and you can really get your fill of high-intensity work and racing for that small $8 to $15 cost. In theory, you could probably race 30 or 40 times and not go much above $2,000 worth of expenses for race fees. $3,700 for racing expenses seems a little bit extensive to me. All right, moving on to an indoor trainer. This guy is using a Watt bike. Cost him $3,400. That's pretty nice. Do you need a Watt bike to race? Hell no, you don't need a Watt bike to race. Do you need a Watt bike to get better? Hell no, you don't need a Watt bike to get better. Very few of my clients, readers, listeners have Watt bikes, and I've seen some amazing improvements out of my readers, clients, listeners. You guys have done amazing things with some of you just a wind trainer. All right, my favorite trainer, however, is the Kirk Kinetic Road Machine. I've had mine for 5 years, and it's basically bulletproof. You really do not need a Watt bike. You don't need a those Tax Fortius electronic units, the ones with the on-screen heads-up videos that adjust the resistance based on the video. You don't need a CompuTrain or any of those. You need a trainer. You can find Cyclops wind trainers for like $115, $120. You can find them on Craigslist for like $50. If you really want some kind of heads-up display or something to tell you where you're at, invest in Trainer Road for $10 a month. Get all your data on the TV through an ANT speed cadence power sensor and an ANT stick for the computer. And basically, you just simulated what a Watt bike will do for you, except adjust the rear wheel. You can even get training plans built for Trainer Road. I don't do them, but I know a lot of people who do. And that's not to say that you can't translate any of my workouts into Trainer Road videos and just work on it that way, because I know a lot of people who have. Kirk Kinetic Trainer, $300, $315. That is a really, really far cry from spending $3,400 on a Watt bike. Next thing he claims, he's talking about nutrition, including supplements, gels, proteins. He's talking about $1,200 a year. I'm going to keep this one real simple. Eat some real food. Make a sandwich. That's your nutrition. Gels should be used sparingly anyway. You don't need all that stuff. Eat some real food. It's a whole lot better for you. Tires and spare parts. Well, he says tires, just tires. Clothing already covered. Replacing tires, he says $460 a year. I'm going to lump spare parts in with that as well. Whatever you might need to get through the season, simply figure yourself about $500 for it, $1,000 if you crash badly and break something. $500 should really cover cables, brake pads, tires, tubes, bar tape, bits and pieces, things like that. At this level that you're racing, if you're going to start racing a bike, you don't really need tubular wheels. You don't really need $150 tubular tires either. If you do want $150 tubular tires, I advise you to do a little bit of bargain shopping. My favorite tires are Zip Tangente tires. I reviewed them on the website at tailwind-coaching.com. I reviewed them. I love those tires. Those tires usually cost $125. I found them on sale on closeout for $25 per tire. Bought half a dozen of them. So for the cost of 1 1/5 tire, I have 6 sitting around. So when I wear one out, I can just glue another one on there. No sweat. So small parts, replacement parts, miscellaneous expenses, let's call it $500. So the grand total, pretty much, if you wanted to walk out the door tomorrow, go to your local bike shop and say, I want to start racing. I don't have much anything. I want to go start racing. You could lay your credit card on the counter, spend about $5,540, call it $5,550, and be ready to race by Wednesday night. Well, let's call it Saturday. You could be ready to race by Saturday. You could be ready to pin a number on by Saturday for $5,500. This guy's basically telling you the cost of racing is $39,000 a year. I'm telling you, you can actually walk into a bike shop and walk out ready to race the next weekend for $5,500. Folks, here's a very great misconception in the bicycling world. You do not need a top shelf everything to be competitive. You don't. $5,500 will get you racing. Now, granted, there are a few additional things you can add to that, which will raise the cost of that. You can get a coach. Coaches will cost you between $100 and $250 a month. You can get training plans for $100 to $200 a season from Training Peaks or from me or from Graham Street or from whoever you want. You can add a power meter to the mix between $600 and $1,000. You can add a Garmin to that list for $250. The list goes on. The bottom line is you don't need to spend 1 year's salary to race a bike. The misconception in cycling is that you need to have the best of the best of the best of the best to be able to effectively race a bike and win. I've seen guys come out on rides, not races per se, but rides. And I've seen guys that are in their 70s wearing tennis shoes and white cotton t-shirts kick the shit out of everybody else on that ride. Everybody who races. Everybody who is the supposed machine of the area that everybody talks about. I've seen guys come out on races, in races, and place in the top 10 on a steel bike. I've seen people place in the top 5 on a bike that's 10 years old. I've seen guys come out in floppy baggy jerseys and mountain bike pedals and hang with the pack. The bottom line in cycling is that the greatest difference maker in any race is you. You are the engine. You're what's propelling that bike forward. You are what makes that bike move. It doesn't matter what bike you're on. Sure, some bikes will move forward easier than others, but that doesn't mean that the bike is going to actually stop you. If you're being held back by the bike, then you're a phenomenal talent that needs to be discovered. 99.9% of people who are out there riding and racing a bike are not being held back by any of the equipment that they are on. No entry-level equipment, entry-level, I'm talking about a $1,500 bike, is going to stop any average racer from being able to perform to their optimal level. Will you gain a percentage point or two using the best, most aero equipment? Absolutely. But what about the other 99% that's sitting on top of the bike the entire time? And granted, if you stop and think about this list and the concept that you need to spend $40,000 a year to race, most of the things I listed in this podcast and that I've listed on the website are things that any average cyclist will probably already have. I'm taking for granted the fact that you don't have a bike, you don't have a helmet, you don't have shoes, you don't have pedals, you don't have a couple of kits, you don't have an indoor trainer. All right. For the most part, most people have a bike that's perfectly serviceable and they're able to ride it. Most of the people that show up on a Saturday or Sunday group ride, their bike is more than efficient and more than sufficient to race on. So you can actually knock $2,000 off that list right now. When it comes down to it, if you're just a regular Joe Sixpack, 3 or 4 day a week cyclist and you want to start racing, you know what you need? A $10 license for a day license, $35 entry fee, and the opposable thumbs to work the safety pins to pin your number on. That's really all you need, folks. You don't have to spend a lot of money to race a bike. And that's what drives me nuts is articles like this will really deter people from deciding, you know what, it looks kind of cool, I want to try it. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that bike racing has this quality where, one, everybody thinks that the people are jerks, and two, it's an expensive sport. It doesn't have to be. It can be if you want it to be, but it doesn't have to be. Keep that message in mind and consider that when you think if you want to race. And definitely give it a try. It's a great time. It's a lot of fun. Folks, that's the end of this episode. I want to thank you for listening. Again, check out the episode show notes for this episode. There's a lot of information there and a lot of links for all the things that I talked about. tailwind-coaching.com/56. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends, family. tailwind-coaching.com/share if you want to share this with your friends and family, or there are sharing buttons on the side of this, the episode show notes for this particular podcast. I want everybody to hang out, enjoy, go try racing, keep the rubber side down, keep the shiny side up, ride happy, ride strong, ride safe, and I will be talking to you really, really soon.